Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
My guest this week on Spectrum is actually one of the first Spectrum guests we had many, many years ago. Her name is Bonnie Wong. She's with Asian Women in Business. Bonnie, welcome back to China America Radio.
It was nice to see you. Now you're successful.
Well, you guys are still in business too, so it's nice that what goes around comes around. Asian Women in Business, for the folks who are just now joining us that haven't been with us for the past couple of years, give me a little thumbnail picture of exactly what the organization is, what it does, how it got started, that sort of thing.
Yeah, when we started, we were just an organization to help women start and grow their businesses. And then since that time, we expanded. We include corporate professional women who want to attain leadership positions within their structures, and then we have a scholarship program, and then we have a special program for even lawyers who are trying to advance in the legal profession. So we have different conferences and programs around each of those groups.
It's for people of really any age. It's not necessarily...
Yeah, there's no age, so our people range from college students, which are not too many, to a woman, I guess the oldest one is like 68 or something. But then they cluster around 30s and 40s. That's the main group there.
If you had to generalize, and I know that's always dangerous, but if you had to generalize, what are the big obstacles, the top two or three obstacles for succeeding in business, A, succeeding in business as a woman, B, succeeding in business as an Asian woman, C?
Right. Well, it's usually if you're foreign-born, then there's a lot of obstacles. And the thing is that a large percentage of Asians are foreign-born in America, and sometimes it's the cultural and language issues you have that's hard to understand. Sometimes it's, even for an American-born person, it's hard to understand what goes on in politics. It's really confusing. So if you're foreign-born, you're at a disadvantage if you're working within the American system. Of course, if you have business abroad, do business with your own original country, then that's it wouldn't be as severe. But then people who start here, like if you want to open up a store, a retail store, there are a lot of issues. So right now there's an issue with the nail salon, Korean and Chinese nail salons, and Ron Kim, the assembly person, is taking a strong position because now they're singling out nail salon owners to get special bonding only for nail salon people. So they're sort of singling out this one group of people because of a negative article about the nail salon industry in the New York Times. And so it's a lot to do with language. The owners are usually foreign-born, Chinese or Korean. 60% are women. And so Ron is taking up his position because it does reflect what business owners go through if you're not American-born. So the foreign-born ones have issues that, they haven't been able to defend themselves. And so Ron is trying to, and there's a bill that targets them. So that's one of the issues if you're not an American citizen. And the other thing, we always have a problem with access to capital. It still is an issue. Not everyone can qualify for venture capital money, angel investors. Now in New York, everyone talks about startups. This startup, that startup, but not everyone qualifies for that money. You see a lot of people getting money, but it's not everyone, and it's still not women. So the majority of the people getting money are not Asian women. It's a small percentage.
What is your take on the crowdfunding phenomena that's come about in the business world in the past couple of years?
I think crowdfunding is good. It's the equalizer. So if you have a good idea, you take great photos, people support you. It's not based on race or sex. So I think crowdfunding is terrific. And I was going to do something, for a project I was thinking of. And so I think that's an equalizer. But it's not, going to make you a fortune, but it's a start, so it helps. But it's not going to give you all the money. If you have a business, it'll give you some seed money, but you still have to be successful in your business. But I think it's a great equalizer.
Since the name of your outfit here is Asian Women in Business, obviously it's pretty clear what you do and who you assist. How do people belong to your organization? What's the membership requirement? What's the login?
Well, it's just a fee base, but then we have we have men who are members too, and you don't have to be an Asian woman. So last night we gave a workshop about real estate investment, and then one of the panelists was a member, and she's like a white Jewish female from New York. And so So she had I realized people have to apologize. I like Asian women in business. I know I'm not an Asian. It's obvious she's not Asian, but she has to announce it. But I'm a member.
So yeah, right.
It's kind of funny. But then we do have non-Asian women members as well as people who participate in our workshop. And I know sometimes, you know, because we tried to do unusual things. So last night we had investing in real estate, but an unbiased approach. We didn't have, you know, a lot of people like brokers give it or investors that want money from you. So ours was not bias, and we chose people based on that. So it was very popular, and it packed the room. And so people, you know, whatever race they are, wanted to go to it. I know a few of the men there said, oh, I was afraid, but they liked the topic so much they came anyway.
Sure. Our guest is Bonnie Wong from Asian Women in Business. One thing I've noticed about your events, I've been tracking as I get your emails and your announcements and your PR at the radio station, is that you very frequently tie together having a good time with an event. You like food, you like wine, you like the things that make a good time pleasantly reinforced. Where did that come from? Where did you learn that trick?
Yeah, in the beginning it was more like, if you're going to be able to network with people, you have to do it in an environment that is non-threatening. So our stuff is talking about food, how, you know, it's not that threatening. But if you go to a sort of like a lot of like contrived kind of sort of networking events, and I mean, it's hard. I mean, you know, they'll ask you, what do you do for a living? I mean, it sometimes will get people off guard. And plus, maybe you're not doing something great and people listen to you and they walk away. But if you have a food event, you talk about the food. So we had one on Monday. It was a rooftop dumpling paired with Chinese and Korean spirits. But you talked about dumplings. How innocent is that? And you talk about the different kinds of wines that are made in China and in Korea. So it's a different conversation before you get into, what do you do for a living?
Yeah,
so
it's a good icebreaker.
Right.
You don't start with a name tag that says, hi, my name is,
right,
and take it from there.
That. And so it's just more casual, and then you get to know each other, and then eventually, hopefully, you could decide yourself whether that's a potential business person.
The Asian population is growing at an enormously fast pace in the United States, fastest growing immigrant group. And over the past 8 years now that we've had China America on the air, which is almost a decade, we've noticed a change in the dynamics, a change in the I guess, safety in numbers, more people, more reinforcement, more Chinese dollars in the marketplace.
Right.
Have you seen that change come about? What's your take on how things have changed over the past decade?
Well, the change is there's more of us, you know, not just Chinese, it's also Indian. I mean, all the whole Asian population has grown. In New York City alone, it's like 14%. New Jersey, I think it's like 10%. I mean, so the whole metropolitan area has a lot of Asian Americans now. And it makes it easier and harder. Easier because people know we're there, and then now if you design programs, you think about Asian Americans. Oh, the language issues, you know, voter, when you vote, you need to be in this language and that. So that it's more to, you don't have to convince people anymore. It's bad because we're still not in a powerful position. You know, we're not in political positions. And then in the corporate America, we're in management positions, but not in the top leadership role necessarily. So there's more and more of us, but we still haven't reached our pinnacle. And then you know, when you're foreign born, of course, there's some issues there. And then you're not used to American ways. And so, and then women in particular don't always speak up. All that's changing. You know, people from China, oh my God, it's incredible, these Asian women from China. But now, but it's beginning to change their dynamics. So it makes it easier in a way and harder. Easier because we like it too. We don't have to explain everything. Before, people said, Asian women, Asian American, and anything we need is separate organizations. And now it's like normal to have separate organizations.
I know in previous times when there were smaller percentages of people from the various East Asian and South Asian countries, it was always good to band together for safety in numbers. Mm-hmm. Is that starting to fracture a little bit because you have a lot more people now from each country or from each group? And is there a danger in painting the Asian community with one brushstroke?
Oh yeah, when they count us all together, it's like counting the majority of the world together, because when you think about it, Asians are the majority population in the world. 1.3 billion in China, 1.2 billion in India, and you go on and on. So together, we're the majority in the world. So in the United States, they lump us together as the all Asian Pacific Americans. And that part needs to change because there's so many of us that we really need to be counted separately, not just whole group, because we're all so different. We come from different countries, different language, different religion, different races. So one day they will do it, but I know out of convenience they clumped us all together.
I know some business people that I've spoken with have commented to me that if it were just a matter of learning one culture to deal successfully with Asian people, that would be simple. But instead, you have to understand the differences between dealing with Korean versus Japanese, right, versus Filipino versus Chinese versus Taiwan versus Hong Kong versus Macau versus Singapore. It's daunting, I think, for people not terribly familiar with the culture to realize all the divisions.
But then, you know, it's also true now with Eastern European countries. I mean, all these people coming from the former Soviet Union, they're now like, I just met someone from Uzbekistan. I mean, I never really knew about that. So sometimes it's happening all over. It's not just with Asians. It's also globally because of breakup of a Soviet Union. We see, and then the Uzbekistani people look Asian. Mm-hmm. And one woman, everyone thinks she's Chinese, and she's Muslim Uzbekistani. And she has a different culture, language there, but then she's not included as Asian because we sort of put a phony category called Asian, but if you look at her, you would think she's Asian. There's no doubt about it. But she's of Uzbek, right? And they look like me, actually. It's kind of interesting, right? But they're not, because they're Uzbekistan and not considered Asian. So it's kind of fascinating how we put phony categories. But then
that also makes it more. It also makes it confusing for non-Asian people because it's difficult to tell by the look.
Right.
And another way, unfortunately, people get lumped together because if they look similar, it's good enough.
They're Muslims over there, so which is fine. But then people don't realize that Asians are the largest group of Muslims are Asian. Actually, if you count Indonesia, Uzbekistan, all those countries, they actually are in Asia, and they are really Asian, see them.
Technically, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so the United States likes to clump things and make it sound easier. So in the long term, it's confusing, but it's easy for people that way. Oh, you're Asian. That's it.
Well, when I go to China and people ask me where I'm from, I can either tell them New York, which is pretty specific,
right,
or United States, and that invites a lot of other questions,
right,
because they want to know more about where, you know, what state, what river, that kind of thing. Our guest is Bonnie Wong from Asian Women in Business. And before our time runs out with this, Bonnie, let's take a look at 2016, the new year, not far away. What kind of things do you have on your agenda for Asian Women in Business for the new year?
Yeah, I'm involved with the Metropolitan Museum, so we have a really big Lunar New Year celebration at the Met in the temple at Dendro. They have an exhibit. It's tied to a Chinese exhibit that's opening up soon. And that's a fabulous event, and we have an all-day Saturday event to celebrate the new year, and it's incredible. It's the largest event at the Met now. It's like 7,000 people on Saturday. It's a real good family event, so it introduces everyone to, you know, different Asian culture. So it's more than Chinese now. We include everyone who celebrates the Lunar New Year, and it's all at the Met, and it's great. And then we have our regular conferences. We have something called Raising the Bar. It's for attorneys who are trying to be leaders within the legal profession. We have Born to Lead, which is corporate leadership. So we continue on the things that we do on a like annual basis, mm-hmm, a procurement conference to pair up business owners with corporate and government officials. So we still continue to that. And then we also intersperse that with interesting stuff. We can't help it. We have to put something a little different. That's why I know it's kind of crazy, rooftop Chinese spirits, you know, that's what we do.
Well, if people want to catch up with you, give them the website information and how they can maybe get your newsletter or something.
It's awib.org. That stands for Asian Women Business, and we're nonprofit, so it's .org. And if you go there, you can find our number and everything, you know, to contact. We're pretty friendly, and then there's a lot of events, upcoming events you'll see. There's some free ones and then others that are fee-based. So it's all different kinds of things. If you look at upcoming, when we think of something new, we start putting it on. So sometimes, I didn't see that.
Good. So they have to keep checking in.
Yeah, they keep checking in. You'll see we're planning like one in a Japanese gallery soon with sake. We have all these things in the planning.
So it's fun, it's entertaining, and it's also quite informative, and hopefully some takeaways for everybody to work themselves up the business ladder. Hey, Bonnie, it's always a pleasure to see you.
It's good to see you.
Let's not wait so long next time.
Yeah, I know.
And I hope we both know a bunch of the same people, so we'll probably get our heads in the same room at some point in the future. But always great. Take care.
Sounds good to me. Thank you.
Join us every weekend for Spectrum on China America Radio. a weekly public service program featuring news, information, lifestyle experiences, and stories of interest to our listeners in the United States and around the world. If you have suggestions for future topics or guests to be featured on an upcoming Spectrum program, send them to us at programming@chinamericaradio.com.